And now a special edition of Open Lines for the next couple hours right here on Coast to Coast AM. So much has been going on this planet. By the way, those of you trapped in some of the most incredible weather patterns and situations that I can imagine for years and years and years of watching weather patterns, I've never seen anything like this. Check in with us as well. We're going to have open lines for all of you on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go to open lines. We'll pick it up by going to Doug in Mount Air, Indiana, to get things started for us. Hey, Douglas, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you today?
Good. All is well.
I tell you what, you got one terrific show. I love it.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's more than a pleasure. Let me start off with years ago, about 1983. I was in the state park down there in Texas, in Bend, Texas.
Okay.
Went out fishing by myself. And, got set up camp and everything, had my van, and got down there and was fishing. And wasn't very long, about 1, 2 o'clock, I seen looked like a big fish in the water. And I think, you know what the heck, I'm going to throw my line over it. The line kept going through it. After a few casts of this, I realized this is not a fish in the water. This is a shadow from something above me. And I looked up, and I saw a very, very bright light. It was a round ball. It looked as bright as the sun, and I couldn't differentiate which one was which.
How high up was it?
You know what? I couldn't tell you, but it was over me. But I couldn't tell. It was the same size as the sun, and it looked the same, that brightness. Well, after staring at this for about 10 minutes, this thing took off, stopped, made a right turn, went almost out of sight, stopped, went back to the left, almost out of view, stopped, and then came right back to where it was above me and stopped.
Have you seen the picture of the UFO in Jerusalem?
No, not yet. And the video? I heard about that on the radio earlier.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff.
Now it took off, and I figured, okay, that's the end of this, and I'm bewildered and dumbfounded. Later that night, about 1, 2 in the morning, I'm fishing still. I'm wide awake. Now I hear this crackling noise and crunching, and it was just a staticky kind of a weird noise. I'd never heard nothing like this in my life. Now I'm starting to tell myself, hey, what the heck is going on? I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm 5 miles at least back from the camp, from the main check-in. There's no buildings. There's no houses. There's just sheer cliff walls, and down in there, and there's the Colorado River there. And there's nothing there to be making any kind of noises. It got louder and louder and louder. It scared me so bad, I took off for cover in the van, locked all the doors, and it was a bed back there. I covered my head up.
You were that petrified?
Absolutely. And it kept getting louder and louder. Well, I sat up in the back of that van and took the covers off and looked down that street further down the road, gravel road. And there they come. It was four of them little guys with big heads and the big eyeballs.
Just kind of walking down the road.
They're walking. One of them walked over by where my lantern was, and I'm really scared. So I covered my head. Well, next thing I know, the back doors of the vans open up, and I'm floating out of this thing. And I can't move.
Oh, you got to be freaking out at that point, though.
I'm petrified. I can't move, and they're on both sides of me like pallbearers. And they're taking me down the road.
Nobody out to help you? Nobody could hear you scream?
No one. And these things looked at me, and they were telling me to calm down. I was going to be okay. They weren't going to hurt me. And I must have asked them mentally, how long has this been going on or something? Because they said, we've been here, we've always been here, and we're going to be back. They took me down the road a little farther, and I could move my eyeballs. That's it.
Were you calm at this point?
I was scared.
Still,
I mean,
okay.
Beyond scared. I mean, I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 300 pounds, 6'2".
You know what? I got to tell you, if I saw four alien grays trying to push me and escort me into their craft, I'd freak out too. As much as it would be kind of exciting, it's got to be pretty strange.
Well, what was the weirdest thing of all of this is they took me down the road, and there was this bigger one there. And this thing had a cape on him. I'm not kidding you. It had a cape on him. It was like a blackish, brownish, purplish colored cape.
And he looked like them, but he was bigger.
He looked like them, but he was taller, but he had a cape on. I mean, out of all the things, even the alien thing sounds, you know, unbelievable. But this thing had a cape on. I'm not kidding you. And I don't know if that if I was laughing inside my head about this guy's cape or something. he got pissed, either telling me to quiet down or calm down. And the next thing I know, I was so scared by this thing. That thing scared the bejeebies out of me.
He probably was the commanding officer of the craft.
That thing scared me so bad, and the next thing I know, it was white light, and that's it.
And you don't remember anything in between?
Now, I was wide awake when this happened. I wasn't sleeping.
So you don't know if you got into the craft or not?
I'm sure that's what happened. It was bright white light after that, and that was the end of that.
When you came to again, where were you?
I was in my van.
Okay.
Right where I was before they got me out of there. I was in that van. I woke up. Now, I sat down there, and I'm shaking. I mean, I'm trembling that morning, and I'm saying, you know, I know what happened, and I know I was awake, and I know, and I can't remember. And why can't I remember what happened after that one scared the bejeebies out of me, and I seen that white light? I don't know, and I don't know what they did. And it's not the first time. When I was a kid, my brothers always say we used to live over by Dyer, Indiana. There was all cornfields. They'd see lights over the fields, and we'd take off running out there, kids. You know, mom was single mom and working nights, and we'd run out in them cornfields looking for them lights. And my brothers told me a couple occasions I disappeared for 3-4 hours.
Wow, I got to tell you, that's a great story there, Douglas. Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hey, Cornelius, go ahead.
Hey, George, God bless you and all the Coast to Coast listeners and old Tommy there. I kind of wanted to talk about Egypt and what they're, you know, going through over there. And it seems like it's pretty bad. So I just wanted to hit on that, and we need to pray for those people too.
I think it's going to get even more out of control.
Yeah, George. I think the New World Order is behind that too, in a way. You know, kind of, but you never know with these things, George. But I'm glad you give us good information and keep us in touch with things. Because we went with Catherine Albrick and all the rest of Coast to Coast guests that you have. It just helps us all out.
Well, they're solid people, I'll tell you. And they risk a lot of things with their own futures and careers to bring us the information that they work on.
Now, George, you tell me this. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? I know you know.
Well, first of all, I'm going to play the go down the political middle here. First of all, no, I'm going to pick a team. I'm going to tell you, I'm not picking because I like one over the other. You know, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. They're just not in it.
And I'm a Saints fan.
And they may never be in it, but I think Pittsburgh will win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Pittsburgh will win.
So we'll see. Now, the Green Bay fans are going ballistic right now. But I'm not saying, hey, they're better. I'm just, I think Pittsburgh will win. You got to pick one, and that's who I think will win.
I think you're going to get a million hits on your website about that one.
I'm working Sunday night, too, so no Super Bowl party for me.
Oh.
I'll be right here on the air congratulating one of those two cities.
I hear you.
All right.
God bless you, George. Y'all have a nice night, all right?
All right, you got it. Let's go to Natalie in Seabrook, Texas. First-time caller. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, George, I'm a first-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm glad you got through. What took you so long?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it's just been hard getting through sometimes. You know, you're a popular guy.
Well, sometimes. That's true.
Well, I just had a comment about what you and Alex were talking today. It kind of relates to what the gentleman was saying before.
Oh, you listened to Alex's show. That's where I was.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And my comment is, cftc.gov/law-regulation/federal-register/comment-files/08-004.
That was you.
I believe that is the exact address where that file is for the CFTC regarding weather modification. And this is a government file, and it actually explains from beginning to end how all weather is modified by the government, that all these events that are going on in Australia and all these floods and earthquakes have actually been controlled with Tesla technology that was found out way back in Area 51 in the 50s. And it's a 35-page document called CLO2.
Well, there's no doubt that weather has been manipulated, modified, and, you know, you found documents which would prove that. Scientists are admitting it publicly right now that they've been doing this.
Well, this is absolute proof that everything that is going on in the world is 100% controlled by the government.
Now, listen, I was on Alex's show at 11:30 Pacific time this morning. So here we are now, 12:20 Pacific time. You're still listening to talk radio. Do you do this a lot?
No, I've been waiting a really long time to get this information out, and I've been getting shut down. As a matter of fact, I turned on the radio, the internet radio, and I wanted to talk to Miss Albrecht a little bit, but she had to leave before I could come on, because as soon as 1 o'clock rolled over on my computer, my radio was shut off, and I haven't been able to get back onto it. And I thought that was pretty strange. But somebody just doesn't want this information out there. And I have been writing Congress. I've been writing my local government.
What is that? Do you get a response?
Absolutely nothing. None. And frankly, I have sent this to Mr. Jones as well, who I do respect, you know, but he won't touch it. And, you know, when I started to give this link today, I was pretty disappointed that he wouldn't let me finish
it.
Well,
you know, we do a lot of shows on weather manipulation and modification, especially what might be happening with HAARP. Why don't you send me that, though? Email it to me. Do you have my email address?
I actually did email it to you today, Mr. Nye, right after we spoke.
So it's sitting in there for me. Okay, great.
It is sitting in there for you. Thank you so much
for listening to me. Thanks. Let's go next to Geneva, New York. Tom's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening for years. This is the first time I've ever tried to call. I got in the first time. I couldn't believe it.
Thanks for being part of our group.
What do you think about that volcano in Iceland causing all this weather, putting all the ash up in the atmosphere?
It's contributing.
You know, I mean, they had, like, in early 1900s, the year 1900, and froze my butt off, or where it snowed in June.
This is an amazing winter. I haven't seen one like this in a long time.
I
got out of St. Louis just in time. Jeez.
The same thing happened when Pinatubo went off way back then, too. So
yep.
Well, I'm thinking 4 years of this crappy weather, you know.
Maybe more.
I hope not.
Maybe more.
I just wanted to add in on that. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Tom. Panama City, Florida. It's Richard, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, George.
Hey.
I've been listening to you for a little while now, 3 or 4 months, and
how'd you find us?
I changed jobs and started. I always listen to talk radio.
That'll do it.
Never up usually this late, but I've been listening to you, and I hear a lot of things going on. And one thing that keeps coming up is aliens and visitors, and I brought up a question that I had when I was a kid, 7 or 8 years old. I remember what I believe were small alien crafts landing in my front yard and in my backyard.
How small? Like little dinky things, like toys?
No, not that small, but not, I'd say about the size of a car.
Okay.
And several small creatures coming out of them. And then I remember standing at my window, looking outside, seeing these things. And then the next thing I remember is being told that if I tell anybody, that they'll come back and kill me. Now, my question is, have you ever heard of anyone else being told this or threatened by this? Because I was scared for years after that.
No, I haven't heard this one.
No, okay.
This is kind of unique.
All right, well, there was a caller 3 days ago, I think, that had a similar experience where the crafts were landing in his front and backyards, but little brown creatures were coming out. And I don't remember the color of these of these visitors, but his experience sounded a lot like mine, but he didn't mention anything about being threatened or anything either.
So. Are you pretty convinced that we are being visited?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But just the amount of stars out there to think that there's not more life out there is just ignorant. But
got to believe it. Okay, thanks, Richard. Santa Rosa, we go. California, west of the Rockies. Tom, good morning.
Oh, thank you, George, for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The other night I was listening to your show on vaccines, and I had posted a video from Professor Garth Nicholson. You've mentioned him several times on your show about vaccines being contaminated with mycoplasmas. And it's a 10-minute video. He gets into it, and he'll be doing an online discussion here on February 7th. I tweeted them all right off the top of my Twitter feed, Toxic Reverend.
All right, so perfect.
And everything's right there. And I also, the day before, I tweeted a bunch of stuff on cancer, like the Huxley video, a free video, and different ones that
yes.
you can find. It's all right there down through the Twitter feed.
Okay, and Wednesday, complete show on vaccines. Huge program we're doing, so make sure you're part of that.
Thank you. I'll put that out.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Let's go next to Shane in Raleigh, North Carolina. Shane, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
I was wanting to know just how aliens felt about a god, because God is bigger than the universe and all the stars, and if he's bigger than that, then he is their god also.
Well, that's true. Do you remember the movie Contact with Jodie Foster? Did you ever see that?
I know of it. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. Well, basically, the alien that she went to visit, they too were searching for answers. I mean, so I think that there is a higher power, and I think life throughout the universe is seeking it out. I really do.
Very good answer. I feel the same way.
Yep. They are. They've been looking for it, and I hope they find it. I hope we find it. I'm not sure if we will or not, honestly, but who knows. Hey, don't forget, by the way, Sunday, Emerging Artist Time on Coast to Coast AM. First Sunday of every month, a number of emerging artists pop on. They have their music, and they've never had an opportunity to play what they do on major programs we do here. And a lot of them get great response. It's not American Idol, but we use it for the first couple hours, their music during bumper songs. Let's go to Jimmy in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, you have a great show. I just want to say that we did not win the Cold War. I've been saying this for 20 years, and now you see the results. The communist long-term Soviet involvement in trying to destroy the West through drugs and destabilize countries, well, you see the culmination of that now in Mexico.
Yep.
The communist penetration of all the religions and the Christian religion. You have liberation theology, Reverend Wright, who was Obama's reverend. That's the combination of Marxism and Christianity. Well, if you combine Marxism with Islam, you get the Muslim Brotherhood and Wahhabism. In fact, the guy who founded the Muslim Brotherhood was a Marxist, and they've been preaching a Marxist-Muslim revolution all the while.
Didn't they start off, though, as being peaceful, and then something went haywire with them?
Well, there will be times they would appear, like any other group, peaceful in order to, if the time is not right for violence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were set up for Marxist-Muslim revolution. And now you see, like, in the streets of New York, you see protests in support of the upheaval in Egypt. And you see International Action Center, which is a communist group I'm well aware of. And the ANSA Coalition, which is sort of the George Soros Marxist revolution. So, and just think, with the upheaval in the Middle East, when it gets worse, who benefits the most? Well, Russia's oil prices go up. And so does communist Venezuela's prices. Well, then people could say, well, Red China then will have to spend more. Well, if Red China is forced to spend more, they just pass the cost on to us.
Exactly. We'll be back in a moment with more open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, on our next Coast to Coast program for the first couple hours, we're going to be talking with the people from Ripley's, Believe It or Not, with some fascinating stories. You won't believe it or not. And then we'll have open lines. We'll have open lines when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines, listen to this scam. I was talking to a restaurateur tonight, and he said that someone will call the restaurant and say, look, I've got a party of 25 people coming in, and, you know, give us the best you can on your menu. So they literally take time for a day putting together this menu for 25 people. Let's say it's $40 a head or something like that, $1,000. He then calls back and he says, we're going to do this for 3 days, so I need 3 separate menus for these people. So they work it out again. So now they're up to $3,000. The guy then over the phone says, I'm going to prepay this if that's okay. And the restaurateur says, yeah, sure, who wouldn't? And he said, but I need you to do this because I've got some expenses coming up. I'm going to give you a credit card over the phone. You can run it through for not $3,000, which is the price of the 3 nights. Would you do it for $5,000 and give me $2,000 back? I'll send somebody to pick it up. And the silly restaurateur goes, well, yeah, okay, why not? It's still going in our account. We're not losing any money. So they do that. A guy shows up, takes the $2,000 of the $5,000 that was charged, heck of a credit card to make that work, and they never come in for the dinner. They don't care. They've taken the $2,000. They're gone. It's a stolen credit card. Now, once the credit card company realizes it's stolen, the individual finds out or something like that, they debit the restaurant $5,000. It's gone. So now the restaurant is out the $5,000 and the $2,000 that they gave the guy. And they're up the creek on that. But it's a scam. It's going on all over the country. He said he gets 3 to 4 calls a day from these different people, and they're going through an AT&T relay phone system, whatever the heck that is. They're out there, man, more and more. Anyways, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Jim in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you a story, if I could, about how I started listening to Coast, or what got me to start listening to Coast.
Sure.
About 19 years ago, I was in the United States Marine Corps. I was stationed in Japan. I had a girlfriend at the time who was also a Marine, and basically, we laid down and went to sleep. It was about 11:11. I was staring at the clock, and the next thing I know is I had this sensation that I couldn't breathe. Now, take in mind, she was next to me the whole time this was happening.
Okay.
I turned my head, and I specifically remember turning my head and looking towards the bottom of the bed, and there was the best as I could describe it, a figure standing at the edge of the bed, in a dark, what appeared to me to be a robe at the time. And my mind could not comprehend what was happening at the moment, but all I know is I couldn't breathe. This figure held out its hand and in a raspy, old female voice said to me, change your ways. It grabbed its hand and started squeezing its hand tighter. And the tighter that hand went, I just could not breathe. I was panicking. I was gasping for air. I couldn't move, nothing. And this figure must have did this for about 10 seconds, opened the hand back up, said, change your ways, and just basically walked out of my sight towards the door in the room. And the next thing I remember was sitting up in bed, and I was just freaking out.
Shaking like a leaf.
I had no idea what just happened. I couldn't imagine what just happened. And I looked at her, and she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And she was, like, visibly shaken. And I said, did you see that person? Did you see that person? And, you know, she's like, what person? I said, the person that was standing at the edge of the bed. And she's like, I didn't see anybody. She said, you were scaring me. She said, I thought you were choking.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Couldn't breathe. And you know, it wasn't something that I told a lot of people naturally because, you know, they'd say, well, you're nuts or you're crazy. Well, then, you know, one day years later at the current job I'm at now, I was working midnight to 7. I'm flicking through the channels on the AM stations, and I come across hearing this person. It was, I guess, an interview you were doing or something a long time ago that a caller called in, and I heard them say I couldn't lay in bed and I couldn't move. And I was just so fixated on it, I stopped, And I listened to the story, and you were doing a segment on the old hag.
The old hag syndrome, right.
And every hair on the back of my head stood up. I mean, it was like I lived what that person was talking about. And, you know, I've done some research on it since then myself. And I believe one time you said that it was like a precursor to people having problems later in life.
Physical problems, illnesses,
physical
and things
problems.
Like that. Yeah.
I was 31 years old and almost died of a heart attack.
Oh my!
Because I had two blocked coronary arteries.
What'd you end up with? Bypass or what they do
no,
for you?
Stents.
Stents. Okay.
Yeah,
they're working well.
Yeah, yeah. I've never had any problems since then. Run about 8-9 miles a day now. Keep myself in really good shape.
Good.
But
have you?
It was just.
By the
go
way,
ahead.
Have you seen the pictures of Dick Cheney lately? This, you know, he's had four heart attacks. But
yeah.
he looks like he has lost 100 pounds.
Yep. It changes your whole prognosis, your whole outlook on life, because at that point I was immortal until that happened, and then I became mortal.
Yep.
It changes everything that you think about and everything that you do.
And you live for today now, Jim, don't you?
Yeah, I don't. I do. You know, like I said, I'm not going to say I eat the healthiest diet, but, you know, you have to splurge a little here and there. But for the most part, I think genetics has a big key to play in it. But once you know that you're dealt a bad card with genetics, you have to do whatever you can do.
That's absolutely right. Well, I'm glad you found us.
Yeah, I'm glad. I've been listening. I listen to you on XM every night I get a chance. A lot of nights I stayed awake listening to you and didn't get any sleep. But I enjoy the show. It's everything that you guys talk about is, you know, should be mainstream news, but unfortunately it's not.
Stay away from the old hag, Jimmy.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see her again. It was a one-time deal, and I don't ever want to meet her again.
And off she goes. All right, thanks. Let's go next to Boise, Idaho. Mark's with us. Mark, you're up.
How you doing, George?
Okay.
It's wonderful to finally get through. Long-time listener. I've been listening to you guys now for over 10 years since I first moved over to the USA from England. And I just want to say thank you very much. I don't know how many people try and get through to you, but this show is absolutely wonderful, and I feel part of a very, very large family.
Well, yes, you are. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
And you cover all types of subjects, and it's just wonderful. And all I can say is to all the listeners out there, we all know what subjects that you cover on Coast to Coast. Don't be embarrassed to talk about them, because you'll be surprised. I have gone from coast to coast, funnily enough. I've been very lucky, traveled a lot of states, and I meet all types of people that listen to your show. And the more we talk about it, the more we're going to raise the consciousness, and everybody's going to understand that there are things that go on out there, and it's the only way we're going to get it out there. George, Ian, George Knapp, all of you, thank you very much for helping me and helping the rest of this country build their consciousness.
Thank you, Mark. Very kind of you.
You have a wonderful night, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, great. What a great call he is. And let me tell you something. When change starts, I think it's going to be from you, because I've never seen an audience, never heard an audience in all my life that was just so with it, so on top of things. Truly remarkable. I mean, I listen to talk shows during the day, and people during the daytime are different than people at night. And remember that story I had about a month and a half ago? People who listen to radio at night, night people generally have a higher IQ than daytime people. I didn't come up with that study. They did. And that's the truth. Let's go to Natalie in San Diego, west of the Rockies. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Actually, my boyfriend has been trying to get a hold of you guys for quite some time now, and he wanted to share an experience that he had with you.
And well, is he next to you now?
Right. I'm going to give him the phone right now.
Okay. What's his name?
Hey, George.
you had her wait on the phone for you. That's a smart guy.
No, you know what? This is actually incredible. I can't believe she did this for me. She's known I wanted to talk to you, I mean, for like 6 years.
Good for her. Now that, don't let her get away.
Oh, I love her. She's a sweetheart. You have no idea.
That's great.
Okay, so this, I had something happen to me It was like a week after I turned 19. This was back in 2005.
Okay.
And at the time, I was down and out. I was, like, homeless. I had a job, but, like, I was just house-hopping, living with different friends. And my mom was living in Utah, and, you know, life had just kind of dropped out for me. But, like, there was this one night I was staying with a friend, and I went outside, and I was smoking a cigarette, and I was just thinking about my situation. And, you know, I was really depressed, and I didn't believe in a God or anything at this time. And I was just kind of talking to the universe, and there were these two stars I'd been staring at for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of bearing my soul. I remember I was like tearing up, and I remember I just kind of sent out the sentiment that, like, you know, I loved everyone in my life, and I forgave everybody for everything that had happened to me. And that, you know, if there's anything I could do, like if I could give up my life to make everyone else's life a little bit easier, I would gladly do it. And at that moment, those two stars I've been staring at, they slowly rotated. Perfect circle. And I couldn't believe it happened. And I didn't think it did happen. And I was in this cul-de-sac, and a truck pulled up. And so it kind of snapped me back out of reality. I was like, wow, that couldn't have occurred. I looked back up, and I saw those two stars. And at that moment, they started slowly drifting apart, like just moving across the sky in opposite directions. And they just flew. And one was heading south, and one was heading north. And the incredible thing was, at that moment, I was talking to God. And, I mean, after that happened, you know, it has completely changed my life, because, I mean, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God for any reason.
It's like you got a burst of spirituality all of a sudden when that happened.
I became a new creature after that moment. I mean, because it's one thing, I understand people, you know, they have faith, and they, you know, they believe in something they've never seen. And for me, my whole existence has changed, because I know that there is a being that can do that.
Had that moment not occurred, had you continued on the path you were on, what do you think would have happened to you?
Well, you know what? No one's ever asked me that before. I guess that's why I've always wanted to talk to you about it. you know what? I'm not sure I'd be alive.
Wow.
I'm not sure I'd be alive. And quite honestly, I mean, I was just a really dark person. I mean, like, I didn't see, like, there being any real true moral realities. I didn't think that there was any real meaning. I just thought we were these apes, you know, that were walking around and, you know, just destroying this planet. And after this occurred to me, I mean, like, you know, like, I realized, like, there is an actual creator being out there that can manipulate starlight. I mean, what do you think about
that? There's no doubt that what you got was a message, and there is a creator. How it happened, I still don't know. I wish I had that answer. I'm at a point now where I'm not sure I will get that answer, but it might not matter anymore. But it does touch us deeply, and I'm glad you were able to find that for yourself.
Could I ask you one more thing?
Yep.
There's so many people that have lived their lives, had horrible things happen to them, and trust me, George, I am no one special. And I just want to know, all these people that dedicate their lives to that being and everything, and they don't get something as beautiful as the gift as I received. Why me? Just some kid living in San Diego, some 19-year-old schlub.
Here's the answer. Why not?
Thanks, George.
Why not? Okay, my friend. Be well. You know, one of my favorite poems by Robert Frost, I'm going to read it to you. I normally don't read poetry on the air, but I'm telling you, it will change your life, because some of you have probably done this. This is The Road Not Taken. And I read this many years ago when I was in high school. And I just could never stop thinking about it, because at that time there was a little artistic sketch that went along with this poem. And you know, it had the two roads, and it was just something. But so here it is. It goes, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden back. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I love that poem. I really do. Next up, we go to Justin in Rush City, Minnesota, first-time caller. Hey, Justin.
Hi, nice to talk to you, George.
You too.
I actually had a story for you this evening. It was around the time I was 3 or 4 years old. I'm 21 now. Probably the first memory that I actually have, I was laying in bed, I remember, in my room, and I woke up and I looked to the edge of my bed and I saw what looked, I guess now the impression I get is roughly a teenage age male, but it seemed like the contours of his body and the anything I could see through him, like, you know, to the other side of the wall or whatever, but he had an orange glow, basically. It was just all orange and rather opaque, I would say, but basically what happened was at that time I was kind of a more rambunctious youth, I would say, but it started to mock me, I guess you could say. It was and making facial gestures and stuff, and I remember getting up out of my bed and jumping onto the floor, and I began to chase the thing around my room up and over my bed. And I remember we did this like maybe twice, and I jumped through the air because I knew I was close enough to get a hold of it. And my dad walked into the room and he turned the light on and I hit the floor.
And well, it was gone, right?
It was gone, absolutely gone. And I thought I kind of grew up and I knew it was more than like maybe it wasn't a dream or whatever, but it kind of faded into my memory. Well, I remember recalling the story to one of my younger then siblings, and he asked my dad if the story was real, if it had actually happened, and my dad replied that, yeah, but that was a long time ago. So, it kind of confirmed that for me in my memory, but, I'm just wondering if you maybe had any idea of what that would have been. Like, I've never had any other paranormal,
What possessed you to chase the thing?
That was my personality as a child. My grandma used to refer to me as a toughie because
most kids would have run the other way.
I don't know. I was a daredevil, I guess, when I was a kid. I used to jump out of windows, get running starts, and leap into the air. I don't know. I was an odd child. I used to try and wrestle anyone that would, come close to me. I considered myself to be like some kind of a ninja. So
well,
that's
pretty. My board op, if Jesse, if he saw a butterfly, he'd be cowering in the corner. Everything scares him. Everything. Say hi to him. We're in this very secure building, and he goes outside every once in a while. You say hi to him, and he jumps. Everything scares the poor guy. But for you, that's pretty gutsy. Hey, we're already at the top of the hour, so I'm going to come right back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and looks like we'll do another hour of open lines for you, unless we throw in a surprise or two, but I shall be right back. And by the way, don't forget, tomorrow night's program, first couple hours, the folks from Ripley's Believe It or Not are coming in. I kid you not. We'll be right back.